We are glad to present your speaker, Ray Weddington.
As we're getting ready to end one year and begin another year, one thing that we must never lose sight of is the fact that our God is able. Our God is able. When you look throughout the stories in the Old and the New Testament, there's one message that is repeated over and over again, that God wants His people to know and to understand that God is able to do. We're going to look at one such message tonight, found in the book of Judges, the 7th chapter. But to understand it fully, we want to go back to Judges, the 2nd chapter, to set the context of our lesson tonight. So begin with, turning to Judges, the 2nd chapter. Now we know after the death of Moses, not being allowed to go into the promised land, that God chose Joshua to lead His people, to lead Israel into the promised land. God had made promises to Israel that He would be with them, He would watch over them, He would be their protector, He would provide for them. He just asked one thing of them, that they be thankful, and that they be not only thankful, but they be faithful to Him as well. God told them after they went into the land of Israel that they must drive out the inhabitants of the land. God had a purpose for that. He knew that they would be tempted by the pagan gods and idolatrous worship of these pagans in Israel if they did not drive them out. But we know the story that as the Israelites went into the land and settled and divided by tribes and territories, that they did not drive out all the inhabitants of the land. And ultimately, these Canaanites were a terrible influence upon the Israelites. They led them into pagan rituals and in idolatry and away from God. But this happened after the death of Joshua. Look at the second chapter of Judges and beginning with verse 7. We're just going to highlight some, and I encourage you to read the story more fully at your own leisure. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. It makes a difference who the leader is. Leaders in the church, leaders in the family, leaders in the community, leaders of this country. It makes a difference. A good leader can lift the people up, elevate them, inspire them. Bad leaders can bring the people down. It makes a difference. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, his contemporaries, his peers, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. So once Joshua passed on, his contemporaries, those men of his age that continued to live on, the people were still faithful. But verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, Joshua's contemporaries. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. When it says they did not know the Lord, that does not mean that he did not know of God. It's that they chose not to serve God. They chose not to listen to God. They chose not to follow after God. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. They chose not to serve God, so they chose to serve a false idol. Man was created by God to serve. Man will serve someone or something. Ideally, we will serve our God in heaven, our Creator. But if not, we will serve someone or something. And notice the reaction that this caused of God. The God who had protected, who had been over His people, who had loved them, provided for them, and cared for them, says the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord. They left God, the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. As they left God, they followed after the pagan worship of the Canaanites round about them. And as they did, as they devoted themselves to them, this said at anger the Lord. The Canaanites followed after false gods. Verse 13 tells us too that they forsook the Lord, they left Him completely, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Baal and Ashtaroth were two of their chief gods. Baal was the male god of fertility, Ashtaroth the female god of fertility. Both of these pagan gods had prostitutes in their idol worship. So the people were drawn after their own flesh, after their own lust, unto following after these pagan gods and leaving the true God of Israel. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Do you think God cares when we leave Him? Do you think God cares when we disobey Him? Do you think God cares when we put other gods, other things before our worship and service to Him? I think so. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. God used the nations round about Israel to punish Israel. They were not going to be obedient unto Him, so He must get them back into obedience. He did that by lifting His hand of protection from Israel and elevating to power the nations round about them that conquered Israel. So verse 15, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And the Lord said, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. God had warned through Joshua, through Moses, through their leaders, that they must remain faithful to God. If they did not remain faithful to God, they would be punished. We see the punishment just as God had promised. That's still true. God's word still rings true. He will reward the faithful. He will punish the disobedient. God's word does not change. God does not change. Verse 16. But look at His mercy. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Even after they left God, even after they gave themselves totally to idol worship, when they turned from that, when they repented and cried to the Lord for help, we're told that the Lord would raise up an individual out of Israel to be a judge, a leader of the people, who would, God working through them, who would overthrow those nations that had conquered Israel. So let's move over to chapter 6 as we sit our study of the lesson of God raising up Gideon. Begins in chapter 6 of Judges, the first verse. We see the children of Israel doing evil again. The children of Israel continue in this pattern of evil. They would be faithful to God. God would bless them, raise up a leader. They would prosper, and then they would lead the Lord. Then the Lord would raise up a nation to conquer Israel, to punish them. They would be in servitude to that nation till they cried to the Lord for help and repented. The Lord would raise up a deliverer, a judge, and they would be faithful for a while. And then they kept repeating over and over again the same cycle. Here we see in the midst of this cycle, the children of Israel, verse 1 of chapter 6, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now, if we had a map here and we had the Sea of Galilee at the top of Israel and we had the Jordan River emptying out into the Dead Sea, to the south, southeast would be the land of Midian. Also, we were going to find that the Amalekites and the children of the east will be a confederation against Israel at this time. So it would be a large band of people. That would be those immediately to the south, southeast, and south, southwest of the Dead Sea that would come together into the land of Israel. Notice verse 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because God wasn't protecting them. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. So strong and so powerful was the Midianites as they came in to the land of Israel to conquer them, that the Israelites would go from their homes and they would scatter into the mountainside and in the caves because they could not fight. They were weak before their enemy. Verse 3, "And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them." We see this confederation of armies that come up against Israel. And look what they did in verse 4. "And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass." All that Israel did, all the crops that they planted, all that they provided, all their work that they had, all their labor was gone. As these Midianites and their confederated tribes would come in there and it would take everything. So there was no food left for the people, no food left for the livestock. Many places, no livestock left. Verse 5, "For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude." Innumerable armies, too powerful for the Israelites. "For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it." They had one purpose. They would come up, and it said they went all the way to Gaza, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. They swept across the countryside of Israel. And the result, look at verse 6. "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." They finally repented. Remember what verse 1 said? 7 years. They were in servitude for 7 years. It took them 7 years to repent and call to God for help. 20 years of impoverishment. But they turned and cried to the Lord for help. We're going to see that God raises up a leader. That leader that God chose would be a man by the name of Gideon. But we're going to find that he's going to be a reluctant leader. He constantly asked God for assurances. He constantly will ask God for signs that he is going to be with him and that he will work through him. But God tells Gideon, before he begins, there's something you must do. Gideon's own father is a big idol worshiper. Matter of fact, he's put on the hillside this huge idol to Baal. God tells Gideon, you must tear down that idol and build an altar to me, Jehovah God. This Gideon does. The message that God gives to Gideon and God gives to all who would follow him. Yes, he wants your service, but he will not be served alongside of our idols. We must tear those idols down and get rid of them and replace them with only our service and devotion unto God. It is at this point that Gideon raises an army. During the course of the study, and I urge you again to read these chapters because we have to move quite rapidly through them tonight, Gideon will raise an army of 32,000 men. But we see this army of the Midianites is at least 135,000 men that they will go against. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. Chapter 7, verse 1. "And Jerubbaal, which is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley." There's going to be two divisions of armies, Gideon and his army and the Midianites. 32,000 against 135,000. You're outnumbered about 4 to 1. Those are bad odds, but maybe with of surprise, guerrilla warfare, you might inflict some damage and you might be victorious. But God said you got too many. Look at verses 2 and 3. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved them. God looked over and said, you've got 35,000 people, 32,000 people. And that's too many. I can't work through you, and you recognize that it is only through me, Jehovah God, that you're going to be delivered. So we're going to have to get rid of some of those people. So he tells them in verse 3, now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. God tells Gideon, you go out and you tell the people, that 32,000 soldiers that you've got, any of you that are afraid, you need to leave now. 10,000 watched 22,000 walk away. 10,000 remains against 135,000 enemy. The odds have just changed to 14-1. But look what God says in verse 4. The Lord says unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So God says, we need to reduce the number. You still got too many. Let's take them down to the river. And I'll show you how I'm going to narrow it down. The ones I say to keep, you're going to keep. The ones I say you let go, you let go. So verse 5. So he brought them down, the people, into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. It put a test before the people. How the people are going to drink that water out of the river. There will be some who would kind of bow over and scoop the water up in their hands and drink it. It has been said that these were the ones who were the more cautious. They kept their eyes around them in case the enemy were approaching. The others that were drinking from the river would get down on their knees and put their heads directly to the water and lap the water up that way. So, the division of the people by how they drink water. So verse 6, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. That's 9,700. And the Lord, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go every man into his place. They had just started out with 32,000, then 10,000. And now only 300 is left, watching that remaining 9,700 walk away. The odds have just changed again. It is now 450-1. Not good odds. No way is that possible. No way 300 can defeat at least 135,000. But, we mentioned before, Gideon is a reluctant leader. He needs assurance. God knows his heart and what he is feeling. So look what he tells him in verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. God visits Gideon. He says, they're above the Midianites who are camped out below them. And he says, you go down to the edge of that camp. But, verse 10, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host. Take your servant with you. If you're fearful to go down, I'm going to assure you that they will be delivered into your hand. But I want you to hear something. Look at verse 11. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. He sneaks his way right to the edge of the enemy. They're camped out. It's dark. It's nighttime. There's sentries on duty. He's going to hear what some of them are talking. Look at verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for a multitude. Picture that. Mountain range all about them. And here down in the valley, covering the whole valley, is the army of the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, without number, as far as you can see. And they have their camels with them. The first instance mentioned in the Bible where camels were used in warfare. And here Gideon and his servant goes right down to the edge of the camp. Verse 13. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. Two sentries out there, they're talking. One is telling the other, You know, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed that a cake of barley rolled off the mountainside and hit a tent and destroyed it. Now, in the dream, the barley... Now, barley was a poor man's grain. The richer people ate wheat. The poor could only afford barley. That barley represented Gideon. Gideon was not known. Gideon came from a poor family. Gideon was insignificant. Gideon did not count. Gideon did not matter. But in that dream, Gideon was barley. And Gideon's hearing all this. And in that dream, Gideon, the barley, prevailed over Midian. And look what the one who heard the dream says in verse 14. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand has God delivered Midian and all the host. Here are two sentries of all these thousands of people camped out here. One is telling the other to the dream. Gideon's listening. And the one interprets it, said, It's the sword of Gideon. And he's going to be victorious. They knew they were defeated before it even started. Now, can you imagine what this did to Gideon when he heard this? This reluctant leader? Look at verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped. He praised God and returned into the host of Israel. And he said, Arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. What a change in Gideon. We now see him taking leadership. And he tells the people, Let's go. Get ready for battle. Look what he does in verse 16. He divided his 300 men into three companies. That'd be 100 in each company. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. He split his 300 into three companies, 100 into each company. And he arms them with a trumpet, a clay jar, and a torch. That's all they have. And they'll be going against 135,000 trained soldiers. In verse 17, And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. He tells them, Just watch me. Do what I do. Follow my lead. Verse 18. When I blow with a trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets, also every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. It's going to disperse them men all throughout the mountainside. 100 on this side, 100 on this side, and 100 back here. They're going to encircle them. They're going to have each a trumpet, each a torch, each a clay pot. So verse 19. So Gideon and 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets. And they brake the pitchers that were in their hands. Can you see them at that hour? It's all peace in there in the nighttime. The Israelites separated the night into three watches, 4 hours each. That first watch was from 6 to 10. The middle watch, or second watch, from 10 to 2. And the third watch from 2 to 6. So in the middle watch, the beginning of it would be 10 o'clock. It just changed. They just changed sentries at that time. As the Israelites were spread together here, and the signal was given, and they blow their trumpets. They throw down those pitchers and break them that's in their hands. Verse 20, and the three companies blew their trumpets. They break the pitchers, and they held those lamps high in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands so they could blow. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Can you imagine? Can you just hear that in the still of night? All of a sudden, you hear trumpets blowing all around you. You hear these pitchers being thrown down and breaking. You hear these, you see these lights, these torches being lit all around you. The trumpets continue to be blown, and the men hollering, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Well, what reaction did that have on those soldiers? Look at verse 21. And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. That's the Israelites. They didn't go down. They stood where they were at. And all the host, that's the Midianites, all the host ran and cried and fled. Can you see the panic? Can you see the confusion that this caused among the enemy? Verse 22. And the 300 blew their trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshittah in Zerorath and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabith. Confusion. They could not see in the dark. God caused every man to turn and just frighten whoever was before him. There was fellow soldiers before him. And they were cutting one another down and killing one another and crying and screaming and running. And the Israelites chased them. And men that weren't in that original battle joined in the chase. Look at verse 23. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. Can you see this great victory that the Israelites had? It was a great victory not by the hand of Gideon, not by the hand of his soldiers, but that victory belonged to God. How could 300 prevail over 135,000? 300 cannot defeat 135,000. But 300 with God can. God wants us to learn, to listen, and to know that we do not have to be the largest. We don't have to be the best. We don't have to be the strongest. We don't have to be the biggest. We just have to belong to God. And therein makes all the difference. What can one man do with God? Unlimited. What can God do with each one of us? One man with God knows no limits. So never let anyone put you down. Never let anyone tell you you can't. Never let anyone discourage you. You are a child of the King. You are a servant of God. Like Paul, no matter what circumstance he was in, no matter where he found himself, remember what he said? He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What can this congregation do? The only limit are those that you place upon yourself. It all begins with walking with God. We either walk with the Lord, or we're like the Israelites. We walk away from the Lord. We decide. This evening, the question before you, Are you walking with the Lord? Are you following His Word? Are you obedient unto His will? If you're not, and you need to obey the Lord, either through baptism or through restoration, won't you come?